Sometimes it's not on purpose because the dog jumps up and hits my cup, spills it all over me and all over the floor. And all he's wanting is some loving. And of course, you know, you don't want to fuss at him, so I have to be careful there. But anyway. All right. Well, before I get started, let me just share something with you that I found. And then I do believe I have a word today. It's so awesome. Goes along with everything that's happening in the Spirit. And at the end of the service, we're going to take communion together. And then what I'd like, please stay, because we're going to all walk down to the gym. And Sister Debbie and Sister Carla are going to be baptized today. And so that's going to be fun. We're going to be ready for you and down there. So it'll be good. All right, let me start with this. Listen closely. Have you ever seen those wrists with WW? The little chain says WWJD. Well, most people assume that WWJD is for what would Jesus do. But the initials really have been changed to stand for what would Jesus drive. What would Jesus drive? One theory is that Jesus would tool around in an old Plymouth, because we know that God drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden in a fury. I used to have a Plymouth Fury, yeah. All right. But in Psalms 83, the Almighty clearly owns a Pontiac and a Geo. The passage urges the Jews to pursue your enemies with your tempest and terrify them with your storm. Pontiac tempest and a Pontiac storm. Anybody ever have one of those? Perhaps God favors a Dodge pickup truck. Here goes, Brandon. Because Moses' followers are warned not to go up a mountain until the ram's horn sounds a long blast. All right. Some scholars insist that Jesus drove a Honda but didn't like to talk about it. As proof, they cite a verse in St. John's Gospel where Christ tells the crowd, "For I did not speak of my own accord." Meanwhile, Moses rode an old British motorcycle, as evidenced by a Bible passage declaring that the roar of Moses' triumph is heard in the hills. Is heard in the hills. All right, almost through. I'm almost through. Joshua drove a Triumph sports car with a hole in the muffler. We're going to talk about Joshua today. Joshua's triumph was heard throughout the land, the Bible says. Last but not least, and following Jesus' lead, the apostles carpooled in a Honda. The apostles, the Bible says, were in one accord. All right. I got you set up for today then, so we're good to go. Amen. And again, we're so excited for Sister Carla and Sister Debbie to be here today after the service. And before my message, let me just say something about baptism. Let's understand that for a believer, being baptized, or what we immersed in water, really is symbolizing, and a lot of us know this, it's good to be reminded, it symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that if we are joined with Christ in death, then we will also take on His likeness in the resurrection. So through water baptism, of what we're going to do today, we find we're baptized into the identity of Christ. And that's why this is so important, okay? How many know that baptism doesn't save us? We're only saved by His grace, His saving grace. But what's so important is because our image or our identity, guess what? Outside of Christ is worthless. It is, without Christ. But the identity of Christ, or Jesus Christ, it is a life-changing identity. And it's able to change the world and, of course, change each one of us. And it means, guess what, that we get to have Jesus living inside of us. And we get then to take on his identity. When you come out of that water, you're taking on his identity again. And what's the Bible say, you know, and that all things are possible with God? Well, with Jesus in us, guess what? For us, all things are possible, the Bible says, if we believe. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm believing for great and big things this coming year. Amen. We got to believe. We got to have hope. How many know that? They're coming up with too many of these little viruses. They already picked another one. And they already know it's going to show up on December 3rd, you know. And then you got to know after that, they got another one planned and another one planned. I'm telling you, I hate the devil, but it's devilish. But guess what? We're covered by the blood of Jesus. You do not have to live in fear. Amen. Amen. That's not my message, but I just needed to put that in. That's not going to cost you anything, okay? Amen. We know it's bad when you get your lungs filled up. But I'm telling you, we serve a big God. Amen. We serve a big God. And we know the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take our loved ones. God says, I've come to bring life. And life more abundantly. Amen. I'm going to stand on what God's saying. Amen. I'm not going to stand on what the news is saying. You got to slow down listening to Fox News too. Oh my gosh. All right, let me get off my soapbox. Praise God. Get it out of the way over there. All right. Title of my message today, Things Happen When We Pray and Obey. How many know that? Things will happen, Brother Charlie, when we pray, and then after we pray, we need to obey what he tells us to do. Amen? All right, my text is taken from Joshua. Guess who, of all people, Joshua chapter 6. You can follow along on the screen. All those watching online, we're glad you're here today and watching. And even at a later date, I know you'll be blessed today. All right, beginning in verse 1, listen to what it, watch what it says. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None were out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Verse 3, And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Verse 4, And seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. There you go. And the 7th day, ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of a trumpet, all the people will what? Shout with a great shout. We've already sang that today. And whoa, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Verse 10, for the sake of time, I'm skipping some verses. Verse 10, And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall you shout. Verse 14, And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. And so they did for 6 days, just like that. Verse 15, And it came to pass on the 7th day, they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So the people shouted, verse 20. The people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Praise God. Would you look at your neighbor and tell them it pays to pray? It pays to pray. Sometime back, there was a particular book published. You can Google it, you can find it. It was titled The Book of Legends. And I shared it before, but it's worth sharing again today. The Lord just led me to it, and I know it was for today again. It's a collection of stories that contain the teachings of Jewish rabbis that have been passed down from generation to generation. And one of the stories was the legend of a little guy by the name of Honi, H-O-N-I, the circle maker. The setting was approximately the first century B.C. This was actually between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We know from reading history that was 400 years of silence in that time. And so not very much was going on. But this was about 100 years then, right before Christ come on the scene. And there was a drought over the land that threatened to destroy the very existence of that generation, which happened to be the generation, again, right before Jesus came. And the last of the Jewish prophets had died off nearly four centuries before. Miracles were now just a distant memory, to the point of becoming false memories. And God was nowhere to be heard. But there was this wise old man who lived outside the walls of Jerusalem. And even as everyone referred to him as eccentric, meaning kind of out there in his mannerisms, it didn't matter because, you see, he dared, Sister Linda, to pray. And again, his name was Honi. And even if the people could no longer hear God, he believed that God could still hear them. Even though God maybe wasn't speaking, that he could still hear them. And it was during this drought then, a time of no rain, that people knew Honi was their only hope. Because you see, he was famous for his ability to pray for rain. And the story says that with a 6-foot pole, a 6-foot staff in his hand, Honi began to turn like a compass. His circular movement was rhythmical and methodical. There was 90 degrees, then 180, and then 270, and then 360. Never looking up, but with everyone looking on. And what happened, what seemed hours, but only had been a few seconds, Honi stood inside that circle that he had drawn in the sand around him. And he then dropped to his knees and raised his hands toward heaven. And with the authority of the prophet Elijah, who had been called down fire from heaven, Honi called down the rain. Here was his prayer. Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name, I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children. And the legend says that his words sent a shudder down the spines of all who were within earshot of him that day. It wasn't just the volume of his voice, it was the authority of his tone. Because you see, there was no hint of doubt. Let me say that again. There was no hint of doubt. The words did not originate in the vocal cords, but like a well, his words flowed from the depths of his soul. And then it happened. Raindrops descended to the earth. An audible gasp swept across those who had encircled Honi. Every head turned heavenward, and they rejoiced as the raindrops began. But Honi's head remained bowed. He was not satisfied with a sprinkle, and so his voice lifted up over the sounds of celebration. And he said, "Not for such rain have I prayed, but for the rains that will fill cisterns and pits and caverns." And all of a sudden, the sprinkle turned into a torrential downpour. Raining so hard, the people fled to the Temple Mount to escape the flash floods. Here in Texas, we call that maybe a gully washer. But Hawney stayed and he prayed once more till in that drawn out circle, he prayed again once more. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for your favor and your blessings and your graciousness, O God. And the legend goes on to say that it began then to just rain calmly and peacefully. Understand something with me this morning, that it had been difficult. It had been difficult to believe the day before that particular day. After that day, it was impossible not to believe. It was impossible not to believe. After quenching their thirst, the crowd dispersed and the rainmaker returned to his small hut on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And Hawney, in spite of the religious critics, was still honored for his actions. And the prayer then that saved a generation was deemed to be one of the most significant prayers in the history of Israel. Now the circle he drew in the sand became a sacred symbol. And the legend of Hawney, the circle maker, stands forever then as a testament to the power of a single prayer to change the course of history. Now let's look again this morning at our text scripture from Joshua. While the story doesn't explicitly mention the children of Israel took up positions of prayer, I have no doubt that they were praying, yet without a sound as the Lord had commanded as they circled that city. Let me ask us all, as true believers and as children of God, isn't prayer then something that we normally do when we're faced with some challenge that is way beyond our ability?
Yes, it is.
Have you ever had a need that you really need something to happen? And you prayed to the Lord, "Lord, please help, I need you." The first glimpse of Jericho was both awe-inspiring and frightening. And while wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, the Israelites had never seen anything like the skyline of Jericho. And the closer they got, the smaller they felt. They finally understood why the generation before them felt like grasshoppers and failed to enter the promised land because of their fear. A 6-foot wide lower wall, and then there was a 50-foot high wall encircled the ancient city. The mud brick walls were so thick and tall that the 12-acre city appeared to be an impregnable fortress. It seemed like God then had promised something impossible, and not to mention his battle plan. How crazy. It surely did not make any sense. Again, what was God's instructions? "Your entire army, Joshua, is to march around the city once a day for 6 days. How silly would that seem? And on the 7th day, you were to march around the city 7 times. Don't you think every soldier was asking themselves, well, why not use a battering ram? Why not scale the walls? Why not cut off the water supply? Why not just shoot flaming arrows over the wall?" Instead, God told them to silently circle the city. And he promised after they circled 13 times over those 7 days, the wall would fall to the ground. And the first time around, the soldiers must have felt a little foolish. But with each time around, I believe their stride grew longer and stronger. And with each circle, each time around, a holy confidence, if you please, was building pressure, Brother Gary, inside their souls. And by the 7th day, Brandon, I just believe their faith was ready to explode. They arose before dawn and they started circling at 6 a.m. And if you figured that it was 3 miles a day or 3 miles per hour, each mile and a half march around the city took about a half hour. So by 9 a.m., they began their final lap. And in keeping with God's command, they had not spoken a word out loud in 6 days. they just silently circled their promise. And then the priests sounded their horns, followed by the shouts of the soldiers. Some 600,000 Israelites raising a holy roar that surely registered high on the Richter scale. And the walls, the Bible says, came tumbling down. Tumbling down. It went into the earth, the scholars say. The walls went down into the earth. And listen now, after 7 days of obediently circling Jericho, God delivered on a 400-year-old promise, proving once again that His promises do not carry with them an expiration date. Did you hear what I just said? Proving once again that His promise, if He's ever given you a promise, there's not an expiration date on it. It's going to come to pass. And Jericho stands and falls as a testimony to that one simple truth. And if you keep circling the promise, God will ultimately deliver on it. Can you say amen? Amen. So the question I have for us all this morning, what is your Jericho? For the Israelites, Jericho symbolized the fulfillment of a dream originated way back with Abraham. It was the first step in claiming the promised land. It definitely was a miracle that they had hoped for and had been waiting for their entire lives. And so again, what is your Jericho? What promises maybe are you wanting to see happen in your life? What are you praying for? And what miracle are you marching around? What dream does your life revolve around at this very moment? Remember with me the story of the lame man at the pool of the water. When Jesus came up to him, He asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And guess what? The man could not tell Him. All he could do was just make excuses of why he was still in the condition he was in. What if Jesus asked each of us, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" Could we give Him a specific answer? Did you know that sadly, many in the body of Christ, if they were asked of that question, would not have any idea what to say? How many know it is obvious that the answer to that question changes over time? We all need different miracles, during different seasons of our lives, because we pursue different dreams during different stages of our lives. We stake claim to different promises in different situations. So Jericho is spelled in many different ways. If you've been diagnosed with a disease, guess what? Jericho is spelt healing. If you have a child or a grandchild, you know, has gotten away from God, it's Jericho is spelt restoration and salvation. If your relationship with someone is falling apart, Jericho is spelt to reconciliation. If you have a vision that is beyond your own resource, Jericho is spelt provision. Sometimes Jericho is spelt without letters, maybe meaning it may be a zip code that you're called to, or a dollar figure that will get you out of debt. It might just be, if you're listening to me, a change in your housing, a new address. Well, where do you want to go? Where do you want to move to? What do you want to live in? There was a book written. I love Dr. Youngi Cho. He wrote his book. He wrote many books. Who at the time was the pastor of the largest church in South Korea. And I was reminded of something that he wrote. He said, "God does not answer vague prayers. He wants specifics." And I've shared it before about how in his early years as a young pastor, he needed simply a bike and a desk. And he prayed for that bike and prayed for that bike because he would go through the city visiting the church people when it was very small. Finally, the Lord asked him, "You've prayed for a bike. You've not told me what kind of bike you want. Do you want an old used rusty bike that's been patched on the tires? What kind of bike do you want? Do you want a new bike?" Oh my gosh, he started writing it down. I want a blue Schwinn bike. I want it with whatever rugged tires that he would need. And it said before long, in just a matter of a short time, the Lord gave him exactly what he needed because he wanted to fulfill God's purpose in his life. And he couldn't do it afoot. And then he said, Lord, I'm preparing my messages, you know, sitting at the dining table. I would love to have in my back room, have a desk. And and he prayed for a desk. And finally, the Lord reminded him again, okay, you've been praying these prayers for this desk. What kind of desk do you want? Oh, my gosh. He had always dreamed of having a particular type of desk made out of a certain wood. And he wrote it down. And he started thanking the Lord for that desk. And he says it was a short time. God gave him the exact desk and color, the type of wood that he wanted. Hallelujah. How many times have we been guilty then of praying our vague prayers to the point of there being no way to know whether God had answered them or not? Can I tell you, I'm ready to see something change, not only in me, but I want to see something change in all of us. And for us and through us. Can you say for us and through us? And I believe many of you desire the same thing. So how specific then can we be if God asks, what can I do for you? What are you needing to happen in your life? What changes do you need to happen? Can I tell you that God is still looking for circle makers? I said he's still looking for circle makers. Hallelujah. He's still looking for those who will encompass their promises in a bold faith and with bold prayers. God is not offended. Listen to me right now. God is not offended by your biggest dreams or your boldest prayers, but he is offended by anything that would be less than that. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, if our prayers are not impossible to us, then they don't require divine intervention. And so guess what happens? He's left out of the thing because you can handle it. Come on. But ask God to part the Red Sea like he did for Moses. Ask him to make the sun stand still like he did for Joshua. Ask him to make that iron axe head float for the prophet. And then watch God get in action for you. There is nothing God loved. You need to hear this morning. This is for somebody. There's nothing God loves more than keeping covenant with his children. Keeping his promises. Answering our prayers. Performing miracles. And fulfilling dreams. That's who he is. And that's what he does. And the bigger circle we draw, the better. Because you see, God gets the glory. God will get the glory. Hallelujah. Listen, God is ready and he's willing to meet every need you might have and fulfill every dream.
Hallelujah.
If you're wanting to stop work and retire and it's time and you've worked hard over the years, then you agree together. Get your spouse, agree together. This is what I want to happen. And I don't want to be just scrounging for finances. I want God's blessings in our life. I want to fulfill his purpose. I want to do good for others. Listen, he'll do it. You ask him for big things, and you ask him, and then you believe it.
Amen.
You obey what he tells you to do. Listen to his instructions. He may tell you just, well, you need to do this. You need to move this over here. You need to do this. He will tell you. He'll give you the instructions.
Amen.
He's waiting to be invited into your circle.
Yeah. Amen.
Just invite him in. Because God has chosen not to do some things unless first you pray for it. Tell him what you want. He's on the main line. There's no interference. Call him up. Tell him what you want. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. And I believe the greatest tragedy in life is the prayers then that go unanswered because they go unasked. But here's the good news that we need to hear today. God has the ability to answer the prayers that we should have prayed, yet lack the knowledge or the ability to even ask. The Lord knows your heart. He knows the desires of your heart. And you may not be able to get it out.
You may not be able to express it like you want, but you can say, Lord, you know the desire of my heart. And I want it to, if it's in your will for this to happen, I can't really explain to you what all I want, but I know you know.
Amen.
Guess what? He has ability to take care of it. He will do it for you. We serve a loving God. We serve a merciful God. We serve an all-powerful God. Have we not sung about Him today, Brandon? So on this Sunday morning, the 28th day of November 2021, what do you think will happen when you pray and obey? What is your Jericho that needs encompassing? Just stop a moment before you eat your meal. Take the person's hand there next to you. What are you agreeing for? Lord, I thank you for this food, but I thank you for what you're going to do in my life. You see the desires of our heart. You see what we're needing today. You see what we're needing this week. You see that right now I don't have the money to cover all the bills. So I thank you now by faith that you're going to supply my needs. The Israelites, what is your Jericho that needs encompassing? The Israelites did not conquer Jericho because of a brilliant military strategy, nor did they do it by brute force. They learned how to let the Lord fight their battle for them.
Amen.
How many times have we wanted to take care of it ourselves? Bless God, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to do it.
Amen.
If it ain't happening, I'm going to make it happen.
Yes.
When God maybe, He said, hey, just hold your reins. Yes. Let me do it this time. Maybe the next time He'll give you a plan of action, just like He did for the children of Jericho here. He'll tell you what to do if you're to be involved. He may tell you, you sit back, you just be quiet. You don't need to say a word. You let me handle the situation. They learned how to let the Lord fight their battle for them. Circling your Jericho in prayer, listen, will be more powerful than any battering ram because it does not just knock down doors. It brings down 50-foot walls. How about getting outside the city wall and begin to march in prayer around your promise, so to speak, around the problem. March around your problem. March around the situation and watch the walls come down. I've come to tell you that change will come. Change will come at New Life, corporately and individually, as we pray and as we obey.
Amen.
And as we look back through the years, listen, I can tell you God has been so very good to us as a body. And He's ready to do something more, so much more in us and through us and for us. Sister Paula, He's ready to do more in you and through you. Sister Paula's been through it. Just lost her dad. I don't know, she's still grieving. But I'm telling you, God is strengthening you today. And I'm declaring peace over your spirit person, over you. And you just expect God to do some awesome things in your life. I'm telling you, in Jesus' name. But there's some more steps of faith that we're going to have to take, Brandon. Let me end with this one more story. Before there was a Mother Teresa, there was a little mother named Mother Dabney. And in 1925, Elizabeth Dabney and her husband went to work in a downtown mission in the city of Philadelphia, known as the City of Brotherly Love. But there wasn't much love in her neighborhood. In fact, she described it this way. It was a hellhole. Her husband was called to preach. Her portfolio was prayer, but she did not just pray. She prayed through. And I'm sure some of us in here today can testify of hearing that term used to describe some of the old timers or even our mothers or grandmothers who would pray through till an answer came. And so one afternoon, as she was thinking about a bad situation in their North Philly neighborhood, she asked God if He would just give them a spiritual victory if she covenanted with Him in prayer. He promised her He would, and she felt the Lord then prompting her to meet him the next morning at a particular place at the river's edge, just outside of downtown, at 7:30 sharp. She felt him prompting her to do this. The story says that Mother Dabney was so nervous about missing her prayer appointment that she stayed up all night crocheting. Is that what you call it? Crocheting. Did it all night long. The next morning, she went down to the river outside the walls, and the Lord said, "This is the place." And the presence of God overshadowed her, and she drew a circle in the sand. And she began to pray. And here was her prayer: "Lord, if you will bless my husband in this place, you have sent him in this place where you have sent him to establish your name. If you will break the bonds and destroy the middle wall of partitions, if you will give him a church and a congregation, a credit to your people in Christendom, I will walk with you for 3 years in prayer, both day and night. I will meet you every morning at 9 a.m. sharp. You will not have to wait on me. I will be there to greet you. I will stay there all day. I'll devote all my time for you. Furthermore, if you'll listen to the voice of my supplication and break through into this wicked neighborhood and bless my husband, I will fast 3 days for each week for 2 years. While I'm going through the fast, I will not go home to sleep on my bed. I'll stay at the church, and if I get sleepy, I'll rest on newspapers or I'll sleep on the carpet." The story says as soon as she made that prayer covenant, it was like a cloud burst and God's glory fell from heaven. Every morning at 9 a.m. sharp, she greeted the Lord with a hearty, "Good morning, Lord Jesus." And it said she wore the skin off of her numb knees, but God extended his powerful right arm. Soon the mission was too small to accommodate people, Brandon. And so they prayed for a bigger place. It said she was more comfortable in the presence of God than in the presence of people. She was criticized in the way she prayed, and well-meaning friends asked her to take a break, but she held on to the horns of the altar, Sister Sunny. And the more she prayed through, the more God came through for them. And the legacy of this little African-American prayer warrior would be long forgotten, be a long-forgotten footnote if it were not for one headline. In the Pentecostal Evangel, a weekly newsletter from the Assemblies of God denomination, published her testimony under the title, "What It Means to Pray Through." And the one article sparked a prayer movement all around the world. And it said that Mother Dabney received more than 3 million letters from people who wanted to know how to pray through. You can Google her name. You can find all this out. Can I tell you, our generation needs to rediscover the difference between praying for and praying through. Can you say amen? Praying through. Listen, all praying through is simply all about consistency. I'm telling you, if you'll set a time in your easy chair, "Lord, I'm going to be there. I'm getting up. I'm going to be ready. 6 o'clock, Lord, I'm ready. 5 o'clock, I'm ready. I've got my coffee. I got my Bible. I'm ready to talk to you." I promise the Lord will already be waiting on you there. Hallelujah. Praying through doesn't just bend God's ear. It touches the heart of your Heavenly Father. When was the last time we pulled an all-nighter in prayer? It can become, yes, a religious cliche, but there's truth in it. God is waiting to take us to higher heights and deeper depths in prayer. He wants to take me there. He wants to take us there. He wants to take us places we've never been before. And guess what? If we want something new in our lives, we cannot continue to do the same old thing. Oh my gosh. So the question for us today is, are we willing to take the risk and draw the circle? Yes. Ruth, would you come on up? so we can see a mighty move of God's Spirit in our lives, so we can see freedom in the lives of our family members, that we can see the chains broken off of our family members, the blinders off of their eyes for them to be able to see the truth and see His Spirit move through us than to reach more in our community. We've done it to a small deal, but we're ready. We need to do more. Can we see America shaken one last time in a spiritual awakening? I know it's bad across America, but I have not given up hope. I believe we can see that last great awakening. Yet it's all about, watch this now, it's all about being specific in our prayers, Sister Sunny. Being bold in our prayers and telling Him what we want Him to do. Remember, He's not waiting to hear our selfish prayers, but He's waiting for you to pray through to His will for your life. Lord, you see where I'm at right now, the age I'm in. I want to be able to do more for you. I want to be able to help others. You see my heart to love others. So, Lord, you just help me to quit that job. You see how hard it is. I'm ready to do more. I want to change. Listen, He's waiting for us to pray through to His will for our life. And as I close, as we prepare now for communion, let's examine our hearts and let's remember what Christ did on Calvary. Come on, y'all. Sister Cherry, Brother Garen, come on down. We're going to pass the communion plate just right where you're seated. You can come back and do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you needing in your body today? What are you needing to happen? You need healing in your body. You're needing a miracle in your body. Let me tell you, it does not matter. Hear me closely. It does not matter what the doctors have diagnosed you with. What the doctors go by, hear me closely, the doctors go by the facts. And that's what they give you when they look at those x-rays or those tests. The doctors go by the facts. That's what they do. But I serve a God who is all truth. And we know the truth. And the truth is what sets us free. So we stand on the truth when His Word says that we are healed. It doesn't matter what the x-rays show. It doesn't matter what the test results are showing. That's when you stand on God's promise. That's what He did at Calvary for us, Sister Sunny. For our bodies. His body was broken for our healing. I'm going to read the scriptures. Listen to what it's saying here. This is Paul writing. I felt to do this. We're going to do this every Sunday at the end of the year, and then we're going to see what we go into the new year. But there's so much happening in our families. I just felt we needed to receive communion every Sunday to get us through this next week. God's protection over us. His direction for us. He's ready to do big and mighty things in our lives. But I want to remember what He did for me first as we begin the next week. Paul writes, "For I have not received for the Lord, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also He took the cup, and when He supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes." Here's one more scripture, Isaiah 53:5. After I read this, I want Brother North to pray, and then we're going to receive our communion together. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Listen to what it says. But he was wounded, talking of Jesus. He was pierced for our transgressions, pierced for our offenses. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. That means our wrongdoing. And the chastisement of our peace, or the punishment for our well-being, was laid upon him. Here we go now. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now, we either take him at his word or we don't. And I happen to believe God's word is true. Not only for our healing, but for our salvation and for our protection and for the wholeness of our whole being today. Why don't we just honor the Lord and let's just stand together. And I want Brother North to pray before we partake. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Brother North. Whatever's on your heart.
Lord, we just want to give you thanks for all that you did for us, all that you've done for us. Lord, for the fact that you came to this earth and you allowed yourself to be crucified and you died and you was buried and you rose from the grave. All for us. All for us. That we can be saved and that our sins can be taken away and that we can be healed from diseases and healed from the things of this world that plague us. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful blessing. I thank you, Lord, that as we partake of this communion, Lord Jesus, to remember all that you've done for us and to never forget it, to keep it in our heart, Lord, and know that you are going to, that you are leading us and guiding us in this time that we live. Lord, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. While Brother North was praying, I was just reminded what else happened on Calvary. Or actually, it happened after they buried him and went in the grave. He took back the sting of death. Where when we die, it's not that nothing else happens. We have a soul that will live forever somewhere. We won't die and it's over. We're either going to be with the Lord in eternity or forever separated in a place called hell. That's the only two places there is. I want to be with him in eternity. I want my heart right. When he says, come on home, whatever time that may be, my prayer every day right now, Lord, I want to stay. I want to fulfill your purpose in my life. I don't want to be taken out any earlier than what you would have me taken out. And I'm telling you, listen, as a child of God, you're in his hands. He's got you in his hands, and there's no devil in hell. No disease can take you out of his hands until he says, okay, child, you come on home. It's time to come on home and just rest and receive your rewards. Then I want to go. I want to be ready. But not till he says it's time. Amen. Amen. Lord, right now I thank you for this bread that represents your body. It was broken for us. Broken for us. For our healing. For our wholeness. So Lord, we just partake of it. We're going to remember you in that. Let's partake of the bread. I'm sorry, it's not sourdough. Kind of tastes like paper, doesn't it? Mr. Aiden, it's all right. I love a baby's cry. If we stop hearing babies' cries, the church is going to die. I don't mind it. Especially it's my grandbaby. So it's all right. All right, let's take the cup. We're remembering the blood that he shed for us, for our salvation. all that we need. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for the blood that you shed. Let's partake of the cup. Can you just thank the Lord now and worship him? Let's just thank him right now. Thank him for life. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for wholeness. I thank you for healing in my body right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, what you've already done in this service, Lord, as the word went forth today. I thank you that you were touching hearts and that you were healing hearts today. Lord, I thank you that you were touching us in the physical and in the natural and the spirit, Lord. I thank you. And Lord, I thank you that you're giving folks clear direction in their lives. Lord, some are needing direction, what to do for the children. I thank you, Lord, that this week you're going to give clear direction to some, even before the sun sets, God. I thank you today. Lord, I thank you for all those that have come today, heard this word today, and gathered to worship you. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that as we go, we're about to go, and some folks are to be baptized in your name, and we thank you for that. It's an awesome thing to be identified with you. So we thank you for that, dear Lord. So I speak blessings over this body today. I thank you for each and every one. Lord, you just go with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap today as we end today? Hallelujah. 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 All right. If you don't have to leave, we're going to make our way down. I think we've got a little basket back there. You can put your cups in.